Georgia, but Hey Street, this is BillPod.com, the week in Georgia, in English, coming to you from sunny San Francisco, California. Today is Thursday, the 26th of October, 2017. On this date in 341, war starts in Byzantium over custody of a 9-year-old heir to the throne, John V. Palaiologos. 1520, Charles V is crowned Holy Roman Emperor. He will go on to have the first empire in which the sun never sets, combining territories across Europe with Spanish colonies in Asia and America. 1947, the Maharaja of Kashmir and Jammu agrees to join his kingdom to India. 1967, Mohammad Reza Pahlavi crowns himself Emperor of Iran after having been installed by the U.S. several years before. 1977, the last case of natural smallpox is discovered in Somalia. This date is considered the anniversary of the eradication of smallpox. 2001, the United States passes the U.S. Patriot Act into law. 2002, approximately 50 Chechens and 150 hostages die when Russian Spetsnaz storm a theater in Moscow, which had been occupied 3 days before. Birthdays are New Orleans-born gospel singer Mahalia Jackson in 1911, the longest-serving president of France, François Mitterrand, in 1916, lawyer and politician Hillary Clinton in 1947, and the last emperor of Iran, Mohammad Reza Pahlavi, in 1919. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. If you'd like to comment on the forum or ask a question, go to tefilpod.com or send us an email at tefilpod@gmail.com. President Georgi Margvelashvili signed the draft constitutional amendments on the 19th of October, saying, quote, "It is extremely difficult for me to sign this constitution. However, considering the country's internal and external challenges and the fact that we should take all steps to avoid possible causes of destabilization, I, as the head of state, the supreme commander of the armed forces, and the guarantor of the constitution, am signing this document." End quote. He vetoed the exact same document last week, but Parliament overrode the veto. He called it a one-party constitution that he had worked unsuccessfully to change to a consensus-based document. The new constitution will go into effect following the 2018 presidential elections. The results from last Saturday's municipal elections are in. Kahi Kaladze won the Tbilisi mayoral race with 51.3% of the vote, beating independent Aliko Elisashvili's 17.49%. United National Movement's Zal Udomashvili 16.53%, European Georgia's Elena Khoshtari is 7.12%, Otsneba also took 41 of 50 seats in the Tbilisi Sakrabulo. UNM has 6 seats, European Georgia has 2, Alliance of Patriots has 1. Sakrabulos across the country are elected through a mixed system in which some members are elected in majoritarian single-mandate constituencies, some through proportional distribution. Otsneba won all 25 of the Tbilisi single-mandate constituencies. Prime Minister Gyorgy Kvitakashvili called the election a significant victory of Georgian democracy. Kaladze announced that he is ready to work and serve his city. Speaking after the results began coming in, Udomashvili called election violations, quote, "a special operation against the Georgian people," end quote, and said, "Nobody can convince me that every second Tbilisi resident who went into the election voted for Kahi Kaladze," and called on the Election Commission to not allow Otsneva to rig the election. President Margvelashvili released a brief statement congratulating the winners and asking for the consideration and eradication of shortcomings revealed in the election process. Overall, the turnout was 46%, 43% in Tbilisi. Not wild enthusiasm. 6 mayoral races will go into runoffs: Borjomi, Kazbegi, Khashuri, Martvili, Ozurgeti, and Kutaisi. Otsneba got the most votes in all of these cities, but failed to reach the required 50%. UNM candidates in Kutaisi and Martvili runoffs have withdrawn. UNM MP Nika Melia stated that the United National Movement will not run in violently held runoffs. "I believe that all opposition parties should withdraw, and with that, refuse to accept Bidzina Ivanishvili's rules of the game," end quote. However, according to the electoral code, candidates are not permitted to officially withdraw from runoff elections, and the UNM names will still appear on the ballots. The Kutaisi runoff will be between Otsneva's Gyorgy Chigvadia, who got 48.75% of the original vote, and UNM's Grigol Vashadze, who got 26.89%. The runoffs must be held within 25 days of the elections. Candidates everywhere except Tbilisi were allowed to run as both councillor and mayor, enabling them to secure seats on the city council if they lost mayoral races. For United Georgia's Tamás Mechiaouri, the opposition mayoral candidate in the Tianeti municipality from Schetum, Tianeti, challenges the election results in court. Prior to an Osneva requested recount, Mechiaouri was in the lead. The recount found five previously annulled ballots valid, which put Osneva candidate Leila Kitisashvili ahead with 50.3% of the votes. Mechiaouri's campaign says that they have a photo and video evidence of election rigging. In addition, before a court hearing regarding the recount, two witnesses were stopped while driving and a Molotov cocktail was thrown inside their car. The witnesses, both members of the NGO Former Political Prisoners for Human Rights, managed to escape the car before it was destroyed. Mechiaouri's campaign says that this was an attempt to intimidate witnesses regarding the rigging. The International Society for Fair Elections and Democracy has called a repeat elections in Tianeti to guarantee public trust and legitimacy of elections. The Mscheta District Court annulled the recount, making Mechiaouri the only opposition mayoral candidate to win this election. He won by one vote. The decision could be appealed by Osneva in the Tbilisi Court of Appeals. Turnout was 45.6% of eligible voters, higher than the last municipal election by 2.34 percentage points. Turnout was highest in Ratchalechkhumi with 60.2% and Gudia with 58.5%, lowest in Kvemokartli with 40.7% and Shidakartli with 41.2%. Voter turnout in Tbilisi was 43.4%. Tbilisi, around 50,000 more women than men voted. As always, the denominator is suspect. Who knows how many registered voters there really are in Georgia? Central Elections Commission registered 20,641 observers from Georgian election monitoring groups and 581 international observers, as well as 4,820 journalists. The results from the monitors are in. National Democratic Institute, NDI, reported that Election Day progressed without incident in most of the country. The Georgian voters, poll workers, party activists, and candidates demonstrated their commitment to democracy by participating peacefully. Their delegation included a high-level team that met with government officials, elected stakeholders, civil society representatives, 11 teams of observers that watched opening voting and counting process in over 100 polling stations. While generally positive about Election Day, they also noted several cases of serious procedural violations, errors, and delays resulting from lack of officials' understanding of procedures, as well as instances of involvement of self-declared party-affiliated observers in the court. They described an uneven campaign, largely devoid of meaningful competition outside of Tbilisi, but the most significant complaint was the alleged misuse of administrative resources. They concluded by saying that Georgia appears to have reinforced governance marked by one party's dominance at all levels of elected office, which puts prospects for vibrant and pluralistic democracy at risk. OSCE, Office of Democratic Institution, Human Rights, Congress of Local and Regional Authorities of the Council of Europe released a joint statement. They observed that fundamental freedoms were generally respected and candidates were able to campaign freely. Administration was orderly and effective. Voter registration was accurate. Efforts were made to facilitate the participation of disabled voters and that the increasingly free and active media fostered greater political debate. However, they also pointed out that the entire context of the election was shaped by the dominance of Osneva. There was some violence and pressure on voters. Female candidates were underrepresented, and there were minor procedural errors in the count. They will release a final report 8 weeks after the election process are completed. They also discuss a legal election framework, calling it comprehensive and adequate, but in need of amendments regarding restrictions on voter and candidate rights and other gaps and inconsistencies. U.S. Embassy also commented, saying that they agree with everything the OSCE said, congratulated Georgia for well-administered and largely peaceful elections. In general, I think international election observation is bullshit. They tend to look at voting and get out rather quickly rather than looking at the counting. They don't say much in most of these cases, and it costs a lot. But foreigners like to take trips, and it's a good excuse to do so. Independent Tbilisi mayoral runner-up Aliko Elasashvili is considering starting his own political party. He says he's not quite ready yet, but will continue to struggle for the city with the NGO Tiflis Hamkari in the meantime. While he was the first to congratulate Otsneva's Kaladze for his victory, he also said Otsneva's term in office would be a huge problem for Tbilisi. 2 days before the election, a man with an automatic rifle attacked the Otsneva headquarters in a village in Marnauli municipality. Five people were injured, including an Otsneva Sacrobulo candidate, the current Sacrobulo member, three activists. Interior Minister Gheorghe Mkhebishvili traveled to Marnauli afterwards and announced an intensive investigation of the attack. He also asked that people remove the political context from the issue. Justice Minister Teotsu Lukiani, who chairs the Interagency Commission for Free and Fair Elections, also said that the issue should not be politicized and that people should avoid relating the incident to elections and politics. European Georgian United National Movement candidates described the attack as a possible intra-party confrontation. Otsneva rejected those claims and asked the public to wait for the results of the investigation. At a meeting of the European Parliament Committee on Foreign Affairs on the 19th of October, Foreign Minister Mikhail Janelidze said that Georgia is approaching the upcoming Easter Partnership Summit in good shape and is ready to do even more for Georgia's future in the European Union. He also mentioned that support for EU integration is very high in Georgia and that the country could provide Europe with greater access to Asian markets. Foreign Minister Janelidze and Defense Minister Levan Izorya were in London this week for the fourth annual Georgia-UK Wardrobe Strategic Dialogue, a discussion of bilateral security, defense, and economic cooperation. They met with British Minister of State for Europe and the Americas, Alan Duncan, Foreign Minister Boris Johnson, among other officials. Polish Foreign Minister Witold Waszczykowski visited Georgia for 2 days last week, meeting with President Margvelashvili, Prime Minister Gheorghe Kvitikashvili, Foreign Minister Janelidze. He also visited the new Polish embassy in Tbilisi. Parliamentary Chairman Irakli Kobakhidze visited Israel this week with a parliamentary delegation. They met with Israeli President Reuven Rivlin and Knesset Chairman Yuli Yoel Edelstein, as well as opposition leader Isaac Herzog. Foreign Ministry has presented nine new ambassadorial candidates for Switzerland, Spain, Norway, Belarus, Qatar, Argentina, Indonesia, Ethiopia, and South Africa. All of the candidates have worked in the Ministry of Foreign Affairs before, except for one, who is the former MP and Deputy Health Minister. Parliamentary news, a group of 13 NGOs, including the hardest working NGO in the South Caucasus of Transparency International Georgia, have released a statement calling on Parliament and specifically Otsneva to include civil society organizations in choosing the next public defender. Incumbent public defender Uchen Anuashvili's 5-year term expires on December 7th. Parliament has 30 days from the 7th to elect a new member. No official candidates have been nominated, but Otsneva is reportedly considering the Prime Minister's assistant in human rights and gender equality, Sopo Japaridze, and the Personal Data Protection Inspector, Tamar Kaldani. NGOs are also reported to have chosen three potential nominees, Anna Natslishvili, head of Georgian Young Lawyers Association, Vachushti Menabde, constitutionalist, and Zviad Koridze, chairman of the Presidential Pardon Commission. Georgian Women's Movement, a group of women's organizations, presented Parliament with a petition calling for the criminalization of public and workplace sexual harassment. They're hoping to amend the Labor Code and Code of Administrative Offenses to define harassment as discrimination and make it a punishable offense. Women's rights groups also started a Facebook group, Ramotha Kuchashi, or What Happened in the Street, that shares firsthand accounts of harassment in public places to spread awareness of this problem. Chairman Kobakhidze published an opinion piece in online newspaper The EU Observer, where he discussed ways that the constitutional reform process aligns Georgia with Europe. He says that increasing the power of Parliament will reduce the threat of all-too-powerful presidency and decrease political polarization and radicalization. He wrote that for the first time since Georgia regained independence in 1991, the ruling political party is voluntarily restricting its own political powers through constitutional change. Yeah, that's all BS. About 4.5 million lari will be used to reconstruct and rehabilitate Tbilisi and Kutaisi parliament buildings. The Kutaisi building's facade is water damaged. There's inadequate car parking and it's not disabled accessible. A public park will also be built. The Tbilisi construction will focus on interior spaces and include construction of conference rooms. By the way, the Kutaisi Parliament is a monument to how badly public buildings were constructed in Misha's time. It was done in a rush, completely ignoring any normal procurement. So it went to friends of the leadership. It's a total mess, and the building is falling apart and illustrates that. The Georgian public broadcaster is planning to rent equipment from Silk Factor Studios, a company owned by Bidzina's son and rapper Bera Ivanishvili. Two contracts will pay 372,000 lari over the next 2 years. Silk Factor Studios was the only contender for the contracts, despite having been founded in February. The current head of GPB, Vasiko Maglaperidze, served as deputy director of Metzchere Arki, a TV channel owned by Bidzina, and was later general producer at Georgian Dream Studios. He has faced criticism for not being politically neutral, because he's not. Activists with Guerrilla Gardening are protesting a plan to cut down 71 trees at a construction site in Tbilisi. The site, being developed by IG Development, and will include a four-story shopping center, 19-story office space, parking spaces for 1,000 cars. The activists were told by the company that no trees had yet been cut down, but were not permitted access to verify that. The mayor's office said that there are 235 trees on the lot, including some protected species. In response to recent events related to the trees, the mayor's office has asked IG Development to confirm how many trees they plan to remove. Tree removal has been a controversial topic in Tbilisi since the previous mayor, Dato Narmania's ill-fated tree planting project in 2014. Since then, activists have criticized the local government for allowing too many trees to be cut down. Abkhazian authorities have shut down an elementary school in the predominantly Georgian Gali district. The school has 29 students, a number that the authorities decided was too small. School populations in ethnically Georgian areas in Abkhazia have been shrinking since the government mandated that all teaching be done in Russian. Many ethnically Georgian children do not speak enough Russian to do well in Russian schools and have started attending school in Zugdidi or other places on the Georgian side of the Inguri River. In addition, locals claim that the school was not closed because of its size, but rather because the authorities have not been able to find enough qualified Russian-speaking teachers to fill all of the required positions, and they are worried that more schools will close as a result. A person has been charged with attacking a transgender woman because of her gender identity. The woman was not seriously injured, but was struck several times. The defendant has been released on bail, but could face up to a year in prison. There are no official statistics on violence or discrimination related to sexual orientation or gender identity, but a report by the Women's Initiative Support Group showed that of 150 queer people interviewed, 32% had been victims of physical violence and 90% of psychological abuse at least once in the past 2 years. Public Defender's annual report shows numerous cases of discrimination against Muslim Georgians. Border guards at the Sarpi border crossing have confiscated books related to Islam, including Qurans, have delayed Muslim travelers to question them about their links with Turkey, relationships with other Muslims, their appearance, religious beliefs, and lifestyles. Public Defender stated that these incidents represent government interference with the right to freedom of religion and movement and the right of property of Muslim Georgians. The report also discussed discrimination against Muslims in the educational system, including the case of a girl not being permitted to wear a hijab to school and increasingly humiliating violent and aggressive behavior towards Muslim students by other pupils. Public Defender's report also shows that people with disabilities are discriminated against. They face restricted access to education, public transport, and public benefits. In several reported cases, disabled children and their parents faced harassment and abuse from other passengers. The report blames the aggression on a lack of public knowledge about disabilities like autism, as people apparently believe that disabled children's behavior could be better controlled. The report also says that special education teachers should have roles defined by law, as the current inconsistent approach to educating disabled children leads to increased discrimination. Finally, the report said that Georgian school children in general are subject to psychological and physical abuse from peers and teachers. Bullying is widespread, and staff are not trained to deal with it. Ear and hair pulling, beating, pinching, and being forced to stand for long periods of time are common punishments from teachers, as are a wide variety of insults and threats. In addition, children do not know where to go to report abuse or receive counseling. In response to this summer's many forest fires, the Environment Ministry has begun the process of designing and implementing a monitoring and warning system for fires. Ministry is working with foreign donors and experts, including the German Society of International Cooperation, because of their climate and forest type. Samska Javacheti, Mschetem, Tianeti, and Kacheti are at the highest risk of forest fires. Police smart cameras will be used starting on the 1st of November. The cameras will document and report the number of traffic-related offenses, including ignoring red lights, crossing double lines, driving in the wrong direction, driving in lanes designated for municipal transport. Drivers will receive an SMS regarding the fine, and if they do not receive the SMS or pay the fine within 10 days, they will receive a letter in the mail. The fines are lower if paid within 10 days, will go up if not paid in 30 days again. World Bank increased their forecast for Georgia's 2017 economic growth from 3.5 to 4%. They expect 4% growth to continue in 2018 and then increase to 4.5 in 2019. Rising exports, an increase in money transfers and state investments all contributed to the growth. They also noted that the banking sector is stable due to reasonable supervision. The ratio of overdue loans to total loans is only 3%, down 1% from last year. Poverty level has been declining since 2010. The lari has depreciated against the U.S. dollar and the euro to 2.5206 to the dollar and 2.9635 to the euro as of the 25th of October. The lari had risen steadily from February to September, but has since fallen. National Bank of Georgia reports that 18.6 billion lari were deposited in September 2017, while 19.8 billion lari were taken out in loans. Ministry of Agriculture announced 14 million lari in French investments in agriculture. The money will go towards a meat production pilot project in which two farms will be built and French specialists will train local farmers in disease control and other subjects. Georgia will increase the amount of kiwis it exports to Japan. One Japanese businessman said Georgian kiwi fruit is perfect quality. The Georgian company Nergeta plans to export about 100 tons of kiwis to Japan this year after being exported there in 2016. Good job, Kote and Hans, our regular listeners. Nine Georgian wine companies participated in one of Brussels' largest wine fairs, Mega Vino, this week. It was the first time Georgian companies had participated in this event. Caucasus Research and Research Resource Center has published results of a survey that found that small monetary incentives actually make Georgians less likely to participate in surveys than if they are offered nothing. When offered nothing, people participate because of intrinsic reasons like wanting to help or curiosity. However, when money is mentioned, they begin to think of it in extrinsic terms and decide that the small amount of money is not worth their time. Romanian airline Blue Air will launch charter flights from Romania to Georgia starting in February 2018. Oman's low-cost Salam Air will start four times per week flights between Muscat and Tbilisi in June 2018. Kuwait's Wataria Airlines will increase the number of flights between Kuwait City and Tbilisi to three times a week on Tuesday, Friday, and Sunday. Watania began serving Tbilisi in July 2017. Zaza Gacicciladze, editor-in-chief of the English language daily The Messenger, died at 70. He founded the Georgian Times, was editor-in-chief there from 94 to 2001. In addition to his career in journalism, he wrote books on Dylan Thomas and Geoffrey Chaucer and lectured at Tbilisi State University. He is remembered for providing opportunities for students and working to help young generations succeed. Very nice guy, and sorry to hear about that. Three films directed by Georgians or being produced by Georgian companies have received grant funding from Your Images, a cultural fund of the Council of Europe. The films include Eva Husin's Girl of the Sun, about female Kurdish fighters, Dito Tsintsadze's 43, and Uta Beria's Negative Numbers, about rugby at a juvenile detention center in Tbilisi. The Herdvisi Fortress in southern Sketa or Samska region is being rehabilitated. 1.5 million lari have been allocated for the project, which is due to be completed by March 2018. The rehabilitation project includes the reconstruction of an old gateway, a new administration office, cafe and tourist information center, water and electricity supplies, wastewater system, car park, public toilet, improvements on the road to the fort, and increased access for disabled people. Meme this week is a lovely animation of the Georgian alphabet with a word and interesting historical or cultural factoid about Georgia for each letter. Stuff to read. The New York Times reviewed several books about the Russian Revolution to mark its 100-year anniversary, included one about Georgia that we've mentioned lots, The Experiment, Georgia's Forgotten Revolution, 1918 to 1921 by Eric Lee. The book is an account of Georgia's brief period as a democratic socialist republic and the short-lived success of the Menshevik government that ruled it. The Economist wrote about the impact of the Abkhazian conflict might have on Nutella production. Georgian EUD comprehensive free trade agreement that goes into effect in 2018 will require all exports to have official certificates of origin in keeping with EU standards. 10% of Georgia's hazelnut exports come from Abkhazia, but Georgian authorities will not provide certificates to nuts of Abkhazian origin. OC Media published a South Ossetian woman's account of the 2008 war and aftermath. Before the war, she considered Georgians her friends and traveled to Tbilisi and Khashoggi to visit family and access medical services. After the war, she no longer trusts Georgians and says she cannot forgive the Georgian people that had once lived in her community for their betrayal. OC Media also published a critique of recent city planning developments by architect, urban designer, and city planning teacher Irakli Zhvanya. He discusses a variety of different problems, including a lack of overarching plan, generally poor planning and preparation, development for political purposes, increased traffic due to the creation of one-way streets, and badly placed parking lots, and, of course, poorly thought-out bike lanes. Chaykhana profiled a woman from the Pshavi region of Mshetam Tianeti who is a shepherd in the summer and a medical student the rest of the year. Gender roles are changing as people leave villages for Tbilisi, but Mariam still faces judgment from some members of her community in addition to other challenges, including a very long commute to Tbilisi and lack of services near home. Profile includes beautiful photographs of life in the mountains. All the stuff the reads posted on the forum. This week's dive bar number is 200,000, the number of gold pieces Emperor King Queen Tamar purportedly and unsuccessfully offered Saladin for the relics of the True Cross. Dancers from the Bolshoi Theater in the State Ballet of Georgia will perform Laurentia at the Tbilisi Opera and Ballet Theater twice this weekend, 8 p.m. on the 28th and 2 p.m. on the 29th. Georgia is the focus of Doc Leipzig 2017, Germany's largest documentary and animated film festival. Films will cover topics from youth clashing with conservatism to mining in Chiatuta. There will also be a panel discussion featuring female Georgian directors. The festival opens on the 30th of October and runs through the 5th of November. The Gift Festival continues this week in Tbilisi. On the 29th, there is a Buto performance, The Kumquat Seed, by Japanese group Sankai Juku at the Rusavele State Academic Theater at 8 p.m. And on the 31st, the Theater of the Bolshoi Municipality will perform Death Day Gift at the Turmanishvili Film Actors Theater at 8 p.m. The Tbilisi Wind Festival runs from the 1st through the 4th of October. The festival wants to promote wind instruments and chamber music in Georgia. It includes master classes and performances at 8 p.m. on the 1st and the 4th. Norwegian Music Academy Wind Ensemble will perform two pieces by Strauss and a new piece by Anders Kolger at the Dongsun Kahidze Tbilisi Center for Music and Culture. 7 p.m. on the 3rd of November, Norwegian Music Academy Wind Ensemble and Tbilisi Conservatory students will play Mozart, Enesco, and Lefus at Fabrika. There will also be an after party on the 4th at Strad at 10 p.m. More information, tickets can be found on Facebook and bilitebi.ge. Icelandic legend Björk is playing at the Tbilisi Concert Hall on Halloween night, the 31st of October and the 3rd of November as part of the Sioux Festival. Björk will also be visiting Svaneti, Zemo Ajada, Guria, and Kaheti to learn about Georgian music. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Email is tbilpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website, www.tbilpod.com. And we will finish with Praise You by British big beat artist Fatboy Slim.
We've come a long, long way together. I have to celebrate you, baby. I have to praise you like I should. Thank you.